I can't remember the last time I had an amazing shopping experience.
So, like, sadly, Robin, here, like, too many people think shopping is tedious and uninspiring, and like, what's now, like some of the experiences, like you said, and like, yes, every retailer wants that. They say that on every stage and every report. They want to do that, and it's just so. It's like, I empathize with them that they're not experiencing the fruits of their labor.
Retail Unwrapped is a weekly podcast hosted by Robin Lewis and Shelley Cohan from The Robin Report. Each episode dives into the latest trends and developments in the retail industry. Join them as they discuss interesting topics and interview industry leaders, keeping you in the loop with everything retail.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for joining our weekly podcast. I'm Robin Lewis, founder and CEO of The Robin Report, along with my podcast partner, Shelley Cohan. And today, we have somebody who has a fascinating business model. And so we welcome Purva Gupta, who's a co-founder and CEO of Lily AI. And we're going to have a real rich conversation, I think, on how to deliver legitimate tangible assets, tangible sales, and performance gains with AI enablement tools. So welcome, Purva. We're really lucky to have you, and we're honored with your presence. So maybe for our listeners, you can start by telling us about your background or a little bit about your background, but what Lily AI is for our listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for inviting me, Robin, Shelley. This is going to be a fascinating conversation with you both. I'm so thrilled to tell our story here. So quickly over my background, and then I'll jump into what we do at Lily AI. I'm an economist by education. I started my career working with Saatchi & Saatchi. I used to work on the Head & Shoulders hair pulling ads. Learned very early on that love brands are creating an emotional connection with the shoppers, and that stayed with me. I then worked for a startup in the mobile banking space in India. This was backed by the Gates Foundation. Bill Gates came and spent a bunch of time with the founders and the team, and that was my time to fascinate about Silicon Valley and wanted to figure out a way to just get here somehow. So before I got to Silicon Valley, I ended up in New York first, and I had never experienced fashion in the way that I experienced in New York and India before. And so once my excitement from buying from some of the largest brands and retailers in the world settled down, as much as a woman's excitement can settle down, I started observing my own thoughts and my behaviors as I was walking in and out of stores, online and offline. It felt like the products were at the center of the entire experience and not the consumers. I was willing to give my money, emotion, intention, data, all of this rich data to the online store and the offline store, but it seemed like I was feeling the same frustration again and again leaving the store, and sometimes almost thinking that there's something wrong with my body because I'm not able to find the stuff that fits me well or I feel really good about, etc. But I wanted to make sure this is not an immigrant problem that I have. What if American women don't feel this way at all, and they are having seamless and frictionless shopping experiences and I'm the only one? And so all that I did for the next 2 years specifically is just asked women one question. Why did you buy the last item of clothing or accessory that you bought? And I spoke to more than 1,000 women, incubated this hypothesis at Yale. I'm a Yale spouse. That gave me access to a lot of young American women. And, and that's where I learned and got the key insight that the words that these women were using to describe products were not the words that merchants or retailers were using on the online store or on the physical label, et cetera. And that's when I understood that there is a massive gap in this consumer speak and in this merchant speak, which is leading to a lot of this frustration. And that's when, after hearing this from so many women, I felt pregnant with the idea that I'm going to build a company around this, and like this is a problem worth solving.
Yeah.
And that's how Lily AI was born. Wow. And so that's what we do today. We are bridging the gap between merchant speak and consumer speak in retail. Let me give you a quick example. Merchant speak might be somebody, a merchant describing a product as midnight French terry at leisure, but then the consumer for the same product might describe it as navy blue hoodie.
Right. And
when they describe it like that in the search bar or on Google search, they're not getting those because unfortunate truth is that that product is not called navy blue hoodie in the entire life of that product with that brand. And again, it's the point is not that merchants don't know that consumers think like that. The problem is that it's written in technical speak the way the retail processes are, and this is a very hard technology problem that consumers' language is just constantly changing. The trends, like everything around it and how consumers describe products, that's constantly changing. So it's a hard technology problem, which we have now used AI to solve. And it's taken us a while. I've been on this 9-year journey to build the technology. And we started this company in 2015, me and my co-founder, when people were not thinking about AI in retail the way everybody's thinking about AI today. And so like I keep saying, this is showtime for Lily AI because we've built the technology for a while. We've been live with some of the largest brands and retailers in the world for a few years now. And I'm excited to talk about the ROI with AI because that's the next big conversation everybody needs to have after all the hype that has been built around AI as to like, what is it really doing for the business? And I'm excited to chat about that later.
Oh my gosh. I can't even tell you. First of all, what a fantastic background. And I love your example because I would be looking for the navy hoodie. Exactly. So I totally get that. And it's great that Lily AI came around when it did because you've like now you're ahead of the curve because everyone right now is really grappling with how to optimize and measure, you know, AI initiatives. And everyone's so focused on AI. You got your board of directors, your management team, your employees, even the customer expectation has really risen. And the customer is expecting to get AI as part of their shopping journey. So when you founded the company, you know, what problem were you trying to really solve?
Yeah. And like I said earlier, like fundamentally for me, because I'm not a technologist by education, I'm an economist by education. For me, it was never about the AI. I think for the first 4 years that we existed, I never, like it was called Lily. It was not even called Lily AI. And like, I never told people that, hey, we're working on this cool AI problem. I think that has all been really good in hindsight that for me, the North Star always in terms of what the problem was to say, what the consumer is saying, like, how do we make sure that the retailers understand that? Like, it was always chasing the consumer and making sure that their spoken word is getting serviced. And so because it was never, I never saw this as an AI problem. AI is a means to solve the problem. And like, that's my piece of advice to anybody thinking about the space in general is to like obsess on the problems, obsess on the customer and like work backwards from that because, you know, focusing on AI, you can get really lost. And let me give you a very quick example. Like there are so many different types of AI. Lily AI uses a suite of AI applications. Generative AI is one of them. For this problem, for this particular problem that we are solving, accuracy is really important. Like you have to be able to accurately extract attributes, especially if you're going to put that in front of the customer on your online store, et cetera. And like some of the challenges with generative AI we've seen is there can be hallucination and it may or may not be accurate. So if you obsess on the type of AI first and then try to solve a problem, you can very quickly go down a path that does not serve you. So, but if you focus on the problem and the customer and think of AI as just a means to solve whichever type of AI and define the metrics and what you want, how you want the problem to be solved, then you can have, then in my opinion, you can do a better use of AI and how you get to the solution versus doing it the other way.
Boy, truer words were never spoken, Purva. you know, the point is you hit the, yeah. right on the head. You named one of the biggest things that's been going on in this industry for decades, if not centuries. And that is that as technology emerged as like a new era, people started thinking that a technology was the means to the end, that it was the thing, instead of understanding that it really is the consumer. In other words, everybody's chasing technology instead of concentrating on how the customer is viewing all of this and their language, which is different. I believe, technology just the tool. And that is exactly what you're saying. Yep. So, you know, this consumer-centric thing, like I say, it's been going on for centuries, but it's really talking the talk. And that is what too many of them are doing today. They use those words. We are customer-centric, we're consumer-centric, but they are just talking the talk. They're not walking the walk. And that's what I like, what I'm hearing from you. I can't remember the last time I had an amazing shopping experience.
So, like sadly, Robin, here, like too many people think shopping is tedious and uninspiring. And like, what's now, like some of the experiences, like you said, and like, yes, every retailer wants that. They say that on every stage and every report. They want to do that. And it's just so, it's like, I empathize with them that like they're not experiencing the fruits of their labor, like in that manner. And like I'll use stats here to be able to say that there was a recent CoreSite report which said that 60% of people have intent to buy when they visit any given e-commerce site, and yet only 2% actually make a purchase. Right? So
unbelievable.
Yeah. What? Oh my God, that's astonishing. So 2% of the 60% make a purchase?
That's right. And again, it's like, if you look at it, like 60% have the intent to make a purchase. That's like, it's not like just like people are visiting. And so again, the whole point around that, like they are not able to find it. They are not able to have that amazing experience to finally say like, okay, I'm ready to buy and just like make this purchase. And that's where a lot can be done as the next iteration, especially using AI, of what can happen to satisfy what the consumer is looking for, and for brands and retailers to help them be who they want to be, like in that journey.
Yeah, right. I always thought, go ahead, Robin, sorry.
No, I'm just going to say, when you're talking about customer centric, and I hear these numbers, which are just incredible. 2% only think about purchasing, or on average purchase. But so it seems to me, Pervil, like there is a huge miss here. I mean, yeah, can you give us an example of how customer centricity can help, you know, with the online shopping journey?
And Purva, the other thing, Purva, is, you know, I always thought, you know, that's just a crazy number, you know, about the intent versus the actual purchasing. I always thought the biggest issue for online was cart abandonment. So is, you know, can you touch upon that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And so the example that I'd like to use here as a specific example is, think about Google search, right? Today, when the shopper writes a high intent search query, like, you know, let's say something like a red bag with a chain handle and like, or a golden chain handle or something like that, right? Like this kind of a query we know is like a high intent one because they are looking for something. But the fact that if like chain handle and the color of the handle and the color of the bag and very basic things, we're not even talking about like trends and occasion and like a lot of other richer attributes that consumers also care about, but basics are not being tackled today. And like where, when Lily does this today for our customers, we are able to increase traffic by one third, almost 33%. Now that's a massive, massive
number
in how we can get brands to have a new type of shopper that is able to find them from Google land who has a high intent of buying, right? And then after that, like, so about 33% more traffic and then about 20% more conversion. Now, like, think of that number, so massive. And so going back to the question you were asking me, like, what can happen with consumer centricity, like 2 and 20, like, that's like that kind of a bridge can be like that kind of a gap can be bridged here. And then so much more. I mean, like a lot of optimization will happen over the next few years here. But my point is that today I'm already able to do that. If I just focus on like the spoken word of the consumer and what the consumer might be looking for in that bag, versus how merchants are maybe describing it as, I don't know, ox blood red or like something else like that. And again, like, don't get me wrong, like inspiration is very important. I didn't even know I needed like that. Using phrases like that or terminology like that creates some inspiration for me in the kind of red that comes to my mind. It is important, absolutely, from an inspiration perspective. But on the other side, from a consumer's perspective, they are not writing that off the bat when they're looking for a bag. They are likely going to say cherry red or something else like that, which is more of the language of the consumer and what they are looking for.
Right. The other thing I always think about is when you think about social sentiment. So what's happening out on social media? You have, you know, TikTok and Instagram and Reels, and now social commerce is really a growing attribute in terms of different commerce channels. But how can you capitalize on social media and what's being presented on social media real time? Is there something that Lily AI does that can really help with either marketing or merchandising to capitalize right then and there on what's happening?
Absolutely. You know this. I love this question because, again, it's important for the consumer.
Of course.
Like we used to live in a world where the September issue of Vogue said, you know, cerulean blue or whatever that was that Meryl Streep said in Devil Wears Prada. And like, that's how trends were created. And like, it was very top down. Today, we live in a different world where Oscars happened and then Emma Stone wore that aquamarine blue dress and like the peplum style, and like all like those things suddenly became the newest trend that happened either so my whole point being, trends are happening either at places like that, or if it's Mob Wife or Netflix shows,
all right,
or if it's something that's emerging on TikTok or Instagram, if it's Tomato Girl or Clean Girl or whatever that is like our becoming a trend. This is how trends are now more bottom up, and brands and retailers are supposed to service it in what is just emerging from so many different places. And this is, if you think about it, it's such a hard challenge. Like, there's so much going on. And so one of the examples that I love to use so that everybody understands, and although people might be tired with Barbiecore, but we at Lily are not tired with that trend. And I use this example because people understand this, right? Like, that became such a big trend last year. And and again, we were able to see that in the search data. That's very simple for everybody to see. And then we, for some of our customers, or for most of our customers, we were able to see the spike in the search term Barbiecore, that it's becoming a trend way before the movie came out. And we made sure that the entire catalog had the Barbiecore attribute. And so that, you know, you know this about trends, that if you catch them on their way down, you're less likely to make money off of it versus, you know, on its way up, or like the whole sort of trend cycle. And that's what is possible now with AI, especially with Lily AI, where we are able to operationalize the trends. Like, we like to say this, we are not in the business of predicting trends. We've left it to a lot of other smart people as consumers and as merchants that are figuring this out, but we are in the business of operationalizing it. What that means is that we are able to take trends and put them on the catalog using AI in real time with very high accuracy, speed, and at scale, so that when the consumer expects to see that, they are able to find it. And I think the thing about trends is you have to act with a lot of speed. So when Taylor Swift wore that, you know, cut out jeans at Super Bowl, like you if you had those attributes already in your catalog, in your jeans catalog, then likely those things sold out.
Yeah.
You know, Perva, the other area for generative AI is content creation for marketers. And so can you talk a little bit about that and maybe give us a couple of use cases?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, in the suite of AI applications that we use, generative AI is definitely one of the powerful ones that we use. And one of the most, I feel like, the most obvious use cases of AI in retail has been the whole, you know, automated content generation using generative AI. And so, yeah, like we are absolutely able to generate title and description. A lot of people are able to do that with generative AI because it is now so, it's become so democratized to do that. But again, going back to the roots of Lily and who we are as a company, as an enterprise company, service, vertical AI company servicing retail, we don't just generate the title and the description, but take care of a few things. Number one, make sure that the language is, again, consumer-centric. So it's not just merchant speak only filled with inspiration. We do take care of the brand voice. We do take care, but we also take care of consumer-centric attributes so that consumers can like get inspired, but also understand what does it mean when something is being described. And then the third leg of that is we are also able to make sure it is SEO optimized. Right. Because at the end of the day, if it's being generated by AI, why not make sure that it is like fully complete and ready in terms of SEO optimization also, which is a big role that it plays on the PDP of what it eventually does. And so that's how we are able to use generative AI also in our solution.
Wow. That's so impressive. All that work is really impressive. So one of the things I love that we've talked about in the past, and I love the way you say this, you always say results your CFO can believe in. And my other favorite term that you use, I don't know, I just find it cheeky and funny, is, you know, CFO math. So Tell us a little bit about that. I love it.
Yeah,
especially because of your background is in economics. I think it's fantastic.
Absolutely. So that is tech vendor math, and then that is CFO math, right? So the way I describe this is like the tech vendor math is basically every tech vendor saying, hey, I made XX million for you. And the CFO is like, do I see that overall in the business? Like so many vendors saying you made so much money for me, but I don't see that in the top line. And so I think fundamentally my whole point here is that with AI, in general, there is a lot of this going on in how much more money vendors can make and extrapolate of what they can make, etc. I think at the end of the day, measurement is very, very important, and ROI with AI investments is really important. There's a lot of hype. It's a board mandate, like you said, for retailers to take these AI bets. And I think it's very important that apart from the right problems and the right types of AI and the right types of vendors they choose, it's also very important that the right ROIs are being understood by execs in retail in what they are choosing to do versus not. So the metrics, how are they measuring it? What is really repeatable in that? And what's really sustainable in that? Maybe that means the same of like, are you seeing that consistent lift? Why is it intuitively working? That has to be understood. What is the newness in it? What what new problem is it solving, what old problem it is solving. Like it's like all those things are very important to understand, because at the end of the day, there is a lot of hype around AI because it can deliver exponential results. And we have certainly seen that with Lily AI. And then when the results get really, really big in terms of the numbers, of course, you have to be very, very sure that, wow, it, like, am I really seeing this exponential lift of like 25% more revenue from my same SEM spend? Like, that is massive. That can be really massive. And so you have to be really sure that that is the case.
Boy, you know, you're hitting so many things on the head, you know, in all of this. You know, and retail has been notorious for years for all of them chasing the shiny new object. You know, retailers are known to hold back. And then once one retailer is highly successful, the rest of the people want a part of that shiny new object. And we have often said, quote unquote, is the juice worth it? Worth the squeeze, I should say. Yeah.
And not to mention the time it takes to implement and the potential disruption, too many projects. Like, there's a lot that can happen here. And especially with AI, because the hype is just so high.
Definitely. And actually, I'm seeing a lot of pressure on executives to actually come out with these measurement tools. So I think that some of the tools that you describe, which seem to be very measurable, are just going to really have a beneficial impact on the industry.
Absolutely. And like I said earlier, I really empathize with the execs, because there's so much pressure. There are so many people, everybody and their and their family is doing AI. Like everything is AI now, because AI is so ubiquitous now. It's almost like electricity or like water. Like, everybody is using it, whether you are selling it that way or not. Like, underlying, there is a lot of usage of it. But at the same time, I think going back to the execs have the pressure of deciding which one to go over the other. And so I often say this. It's a famous quote from Scott Galloway. AI is not going to take your job. It's somebody who knows how to use AI.
There you go.
To take your job. Yeah. And so I think so I empathize with the execs that they can't sit out of this one, or like, not learning about AI is not a good idea. It's important to be informed. It's important to invest now and learn and understand, because this will change the industry, a lot of industries, in meaningful ways. And so they could make bets that give them that incremental benefit, make a few bets, but the ones that really work now versus just chasing shiny objects and like buzzwords that could lead them to negative results, and that doesn't help anybody. So I empathize with them, but also I feel like this is a really opportune moment for execs to take those big bets.
Absolutely. Amen. Provide you absolutely right on all of it. And Galloway, that comment of this is just terrific. So, you know, I'm going to close, but what I'm going to do is remind everybody that technology writ large, and in particular AI, is that new bright, shiny object, right? And that every business is chasing after today.
Yeah.
But what I will once again point out is that way too many of them continue to view the shiny object as the solution, forgetting that the technology is simply, as you pointed out, an awesome new tool. And as Galloway points out, you know, to conduct business 101, but it's just a better tool than what we've had in the past. And figuring out how to use the tools to achieve incredible success, I think, is still the real challenge. And Perv, it seems to me that you and Lily AI can certainly guide companies as they learn how to use these new tools. So thanks once again for joining us. I think it's been a great session.
It was all my pleasure. We think of ourselves as playing a small role in this big journey that retail is going to make. And we're thrilled and excited. And I'm so thankful that you invited me today. And thank you.
Oh my gosh, it's so great having you. Oh, can you tell our listeners how to find you or Lily AI?
Yes, of course. We are at lily.ai, simple. And then also my first name, my email is myfirstname@lily.ai. I would love to hear from listeners if they have any questions or comments for me. Thank you.
Great. And Purva is spelled P-U-R-V-A, purva@lily.ai.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, great.
And I'd like to thank everybody once again for joining us. And as I've said every week, if there's a topic that you are thinking about and would like Shelley and I to cover, just send me an email to robin@therobinreport.com. And thanks again, Purva. You were terrific.
Thank you for listening to Retail Unwrapped. We'll be back in 1 week with another podcast. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcast service. If you have questions, ideas for a podcast, or anything else, please contact us via therobinreport.com.